Cole, Gold Republic Insurance versus the Director of Workman's Comp Programs. Do I have a hubble? All right, please proceed.
May it please the Court, I'm Laura Klaus, and I am appearing on behalf of the petitioner, Peabody Coal Company. Ray Hubble died of lung cancer. He was a cigarette smoker for many years. He smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes a day, and although the accounts of when he quit vary in the record, there is evidence that he was smoking at least in 1991. He had a lot of other medical problems. He had hypertension, gastritis, esophagitis, congestive heart failure, back pain, acute and chronic renal failure. He had osteoarthritis, he had osteoporosis, anxiety, depression, shingles, anemia, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and he also had black lung disease. But no doctor connected any of these other conditions to his coal mine employment, and no doctor affirmatively stated in a reasoned and documented opinion that Mr. Hubble's death was due to black lung disease.
He had surgery for the cancer, did he not?
He had surgery for...
cancer.
Yes, he did.
Was it successful?
No, it was not.
Why?
The location of the tumor was in such a place that it could not be resected by surgery, so he had...
Did the physician explain why, given that position, it would be difficult to resect it?
Yes. The physician told the family that the location of the tumor, the site of the tumor, was inoperable, and that his overall medical condition made...
Why? That's what they're asking. Why was
medical condition?
Well, he had congestive heart failure, hypertension, he had cardiomyopathy, he had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it was severe. He had a host of medical problems, and his overall condition precluded him from having that surgery. So he had radiotherapy instead. His condition deteriorated, it was stopped, and he died. The administrative law judge found that Mr. Hubble's death was due to black lung disease by crediting the opinion of Dr. Avino, who was one of the claimant's treating doctors. Not the treating doctor who said that the location of the tumor could not be operated on, not the treating doctor who said that the his overall condition precluded the surgery. The administrative law judge did not find Dr. Avino's opinion was reasoned and documented. He couldn't. It consisted simply of a statement at the end of his nursing home notes saying that his death was due to bronchogenic cancer, 2, COPD, 3, black lung disease. He did not find that Dr. Avino's opinion or that Dr. Avino himself was well qualified to render that opinion. Dr. Avino's qualifications are not in the record. He found that Dr. Avino's treatment must have provided him with a unique opportunity to become familiar with Hubble's health. This court has rejected that reasoning, and Peabody asked the court to enforce its decisions in this case. In the canvas, this court held that that reasoning is circular. In a more recent case, the Lane, the court held that a doctor's bare conclusion without any explanation is entitled to no weight, that it adds nothing of value. That is all that Dr. Avino offers here.
What did Dr. Koenig find in Dr. Butani?
Dr. Butani treated the claimant for... Let me just check and make sure that I have the right one, because there were a couple. I can tell you that Dr. Koenig said that it was impossible to rule out or to rule in coal dust as a factor, and the administrative law judge discredited that doctor's opinion for that reason. Dr. Butani examined the claimant back in 1994 before the diagnosis of cancer and found chronic bronchitis and COPD, but she found that he had a history of coal miner's lung disease, but she didn't diagnose pneumoconiosis or total disability due to the disease.
Didn't she diagnose him with pulmonary disease and chronic bronchitis?
Yes, and there's no dispute that this that Mr. Hubble had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The question is whether that was due to coal dust
and that
exposure.
That he had coal dust exposure.
Correct.
All right. And what did Dr. Koenig find, please?
Dr. Koenig found that because he had coal dust exposure and because he was a cigarette smoker, both would have to be included. Neither could be excluded. But he also conceded that he could be in the same position had he never set foot near a mine, and he could be in the same position had he not smoked cigarettes. And for this reason, the ALJ found that was too equivocal to be credited.
We're talking about Dr. Koenig now, not the ALJ. What did Dr. Koenig find out?
That's what Dr. Koenig found, that because he had both risk factors, both had to be considered as a possible cause. He did not definitively and could not definitively rule in either one. And that is why the ALJ found his opinion too equivocal.
He said he was suffering from chronic bronchitis and emphysema.
Correct.
And pulmonary disease.
Correct. The chronic obstructive pulmonary disease is sort of a catch-all phrase. And what the particular type of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease found in this case was emphysema and chronic bronchitis. Now, Dr. Tudor explained at length in two opinions, in a deposition transcript, and then in a third opinion after Mr. Hubble's death, that he did not believe that the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease resulted from the coal dust exposure, and he went through each of his reasons why, with respect to the physical findings in the case, with respect to the objective laboratory tests, with respect to the x-rays, with respect to the remoteness of the coal dust exposure, and with respect to the particular pattern of impairment that had been produced in Mr. Hubble's case. So the evidence with respect to COPD was conflicting. The administrative law judge relied on the doctors whose opinions were more consistent with the positive x-rays. The treatment here makes no difference. Dr. Tudor testified, and the testimony is uncontradicted, that x-rays are not diagnostic of the extent or the source of impairment.
What do you say x-rays are not?
X-rays are not diagnostic of the extent or the source of the impairment. They are diagnostic of the presence of black lung disease.
They are one of the diagnostic tools.
To diagnose.
The more important ones, isn't that right?
To diagnose the presence of pneumoconiosis, yes. To diagnose the presence of a totally disabling respiratory or pulmonary impairment, no. Or to diagnose the source of a totally disabling respiratory or pulmonary impairment, no. But they didn't rely on any of that. He relied on Dr. Rovino because Dr. Rovino treated him. And that reasoning was flawed for all of the reasons that this court has held in past decisions. And those decisions should be enforced in this case. And I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right, counsel.
May it please the court. My name is Darlene Robinson, and I represent Iva Hubble, the widow.
Can you bring that mic closer to your mouth?
Try. I represent Iva Hubble, the widow, in this claim. This is a widow's claim. The question is not totally disabling respiratory disease at this point. Did it hasten Mr. Hubble's death? I believe that we've got an admission that there was pneumoconiosis present at this time, unless I misheard. In this case, the issue before this court is only this. Was the order, the decision and order of Judge Donald W. Mosser, November 30th, 2000, rational, supported by substantial evidence and in accordance with the law? The board considered this and found that it was. Now, McCandless, the Peabody has made a great deal of the McCandless case, which hadn't been decided at the time Judge Mosser made his decision. That's true. He did, however, do what McCandless suggested. He went through all of the evidence, all of the supporting evidence, all of the detracting evidence. He weighed the evidence, and he said that Dr. Avina's opinion was the one that he accepted. He didn't discredit Dr. Tudor totally, but he said he didn't accept Dr. Tudor's opinion because Dr. Tudor's opinion overlooked the fact that there was pneumoconiosis present in this case. Now, Peabody's tried to gloss over that and say that he did, in fact, say that if even if there were pneumoconiosis present, it didn't hasten his death. You can't do that when you say there isn't pneumoconiosis present, and I don't believe there's pneumoconiosis present. His treating physicians did, in fact, say that his breathing problems, which were pneumoconiosis, and I don't know, we have different exhibit numbers, and I don't know what happened. I've got the exhibits that were produced by Mr. Morse, who was the original Peabody attorney on this case. My exhibit number is 58. I think that Peabody's exhibit number is 59. In any event, exhibit 58 or 59 at page 19. Again, mine is 58, and I assume that's the one that the ALJ had as well. The impression and plan by Dr. Jawala says, this patient has large cell undifferentiated sarcoma of the lung involving the left main stem bronchus with severe chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The patient's thought to be unresectable due to the site, location, as well as overall medical condition, considering collapse of lung and shortness of breath. Believe he would benefit from radiation therapy. It's important to note that the treating cancer doctor talked to Mrs. Hubble, who is a witness in this case. She's not a medical witness, but she got the layman's terms of what this meant, and they said because of his co-worker's pneumoconiosis and his problems with breathing, they couldn't do surgery. All they could do was radiation. That's what they did. Dr. Avina believed he would have lived longer. Dr. Long, although she didn't say, the judge didn't totally credit her opinion because she didn't say what she had reviewed, but the medical records were in the record at the time she did her review. She found that it hastened his death. Dr. Ridge found that pneumoconiosis was a cause of death. Dr. Koenig reviewed all of the records, although he was not one of the treating physicians and was not part of the treatment team that Mr. Hubble had, also found it hastened his death. The question before the court under Peabody Co. Company versus Director and Raley, which is cited in my brief, but it's 972 F. 2nd, 178, at page 183, is the ALJ's decision must be affirmed if he had substantial evidence to find that pneumoconiosis hastened Mr. Raley, in this case Mr. Hubble's death, even if only briefly. His treatment course was changed because he had pneumoconiosis. It did, in fact, hasten his death. And the ALJ was perfectly correct, and the substantial evidence in the record supports the ALJ's opinion in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. I won't take it all. Mrs. Hubble comes to the court and says there's substantial evidence to support the ALJ's decision, but it's not the evidence the ALJ relied upon. The ALJ did not rely upon Dr. Joe Waller's opinion. The ALJ did not rely on Dr. Long's opinion. He discredited it because it wasn't clear what she had reviewed and it wasn't reasoned and documented. The ALJ did not rely on Dr. Koenig's opinion. He found it was too equivocal. It's the claimant's burden to establish that Mr. Hubble's death was due to pneumoconiosis, that it was hastened by pneumoconiosis, caused by pneumoconiosis,
or contributed
or
to it.
That pneumoconiosis contributed to it. This court has said that the doctor who renders a conclusion has to have a medical reason for it, and that ALJ has to ensure that these decisions are based on sound medical logic. Dr. Avino provided none. He simply stated a conclusion. It's the claimant's burden here, and Dr. Vina's report and nobody else's report satisfies that burden. And for this reason, we request that the decision be vacated and the case be remanded. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the case under advisement. Thank both of you. Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 30 a.m.